invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gifts of the Spirit, what we call the gifts of the Spirit. I also like to refer to them as the manifestations of the Spirit. Brother Goodwin, H.R. Goodwin, he would say these are the workings of the Spirit. I like that too. He wrote a book, a series, Entering the Spiritual House. And then Howard Carter is accredited with some of the teaching that's been passed down. And then I've followed after the teachings given by Kenneth E. Hagin. And then I've added too by my own prayerful study by the Holy Spirit. But verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, Paul says concerning spiritual gifts, and you might notice that word gifts is in the italics. That means the translators added it. It was not in the original text. The original Greek did not have the word gifts there. The word spiritual was plural. Instead of spiritual gifts, it simply says spirituals, or things concerning the spiritual realm. Things concerning and pertaining to the Spirit and the workings of the Holy Spirit in our midst, in us, and through us. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Writing by the Spirit of God, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Yet so many are. And then he comes down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. Now this time the word gifts is not in italics. It is in the original text. But the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. The word administrations, there's a little number 2 in my Bible, takes me to the margin, tells me that the original text says ministries. So there are differences, different ministries. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so on. Later in this chapter, there are some mentioned. Ephesians chapter 4 mentions some. Romans chapter 12 has ministries differing. Gifts differing. Ministries. He that ministereth, let him wait on his ministry. It says that in Romans chapter 12. I've had people want to nitpick and tell me, you know, they try to correct, you know, your verbiage, your vernacular. They say, it's not your ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. Well, in Romans chapter 12, it says it's mine. It's not your ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. They want to nitpick. They get upset over one little word. And yet, Romans chapter 12 says, he that ministereth, let him wait on his ministry. That's just referring to his ministry. That's the ministry that the Lord's called you to. Let me just look there real quick and see what verse that is. Let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. But notice verse 7, Romans 12, 7, it says our ministering. Well, you can say our ministry. Certainly it's God's. We know that. We're not confused. But it's the calling of God in our faithfulness to obey and fulfill. So there are different ministries. There should be. We're not supposed to be the same. It bothers me when some in our midst try to clone people, cookie cutters, and force everybody to be just like they are. And yet the Bible says there's differences, but the same Lord. Verse 6, there are diversities of operations. So the way that the Holy Spirit operates through one might be different from the way he operates through another. Or the same person. It might operate differently the next service than it did this service. And be the same person. The same minister may operate differently the next time. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, you might notice, it's gifts, administrations, and operations. Verse 4, gifts. Verse 5, administrations. Verse 6, operations. And then verse 7 says manifestation. The manifestation, so that's all of them. The manifestation of the Spirit. That is, the working of God by His Spirit is made manifest. And yet, the end of this chapter tells us to covet earnestly. We're to have a desire for these things. You go to some churches and some fellowships, and it seems like they don't have any desire. They're satisfied. Well, I'm satisfied, all right, but I'm not. Then again, on the other hand, I'm not. I want more. And there is more. Sometimes you want to encourage people. You haven't arrived. There's more. Paul said he hadn't arrived, but he was pressing. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, he was pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God forever. So the manifestation is something we're to covet earnestly for, to desire, given to every man and woman. That's in the church, not in the world, and the Spirit-filled church, to profit withal. And then verses 8, 9, and 10 give us nine, what we call gifts of the Spirit. Or they could be called manifestations of the Spirit. Manifestations of the Spirit. There are nine. Now, every one of these, each of these, each and every one of these is supernatural. Every one of them. If one is, then they all are. They are all supernatural. Because they're given by the Holy Spirit to the Spirit-filled church. Now, verse 11, before we look at these nine in greater detail, verse 11 says, all these. Well, all what? These nine that we've not read yet, but we're going to in a moment in greater detail. But all of these, the nine manifestations of the Spirit, all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is working, not the man. See, God's gifts are different from the way we think of gifts. If somebody gives me a gift, no strings attached, then I should have the say-so in what I do with it. It's a gift. But God's gifts are not that way. Somebody gives me a gift, gives you a gift, and if you wanted to give it to somebody else, you could. If you wanted to sell it, you could. Or throw it away, you could. Or put it on the top of shelf of the closet, you could. God's gifts are not that way. I cannot just pick and choose and operate when I want to operate in God's gifts. Did you hear me? I cannot just pick and choose when I want to operate in the gifts. I want to operate in the gifts. I can't do that. Because this verse 11 says it's the Holy Spirit working. All these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. So it's the Holy Spirit working. Now that's the mistake that some Christians and ministers have made. I heard one pastor not too many years ago say to me personally, he said, we just believe we can make a demand on the gift. Well, in that area where he was, he believed he could prophesy over anybody and everybody. And he did. But see, if they all are supernatural and they all operate by the Holy Spirit, let me see you do that in the realm of healings and miracles. Let me see you do that. We'll just bring in every cripple we can find and you just pick them all up. And if you can't do that there, you can't do that here. It says the Spirit wills. See, it's a gift, all right, but it's a gift with strings attached. Amen. It's as I wait on my ministry and as I am yielded. Now, Jesus is the best example that we have of someone operating in the gifts. Now, the nine, we've not looked at them yet in detail, but of the nine, two of them are not in the Old Covenant at all. And you don't find ministry of Jesus at all. They were reserved for the church, and therefore we should have an abundance of those two. Those two I'll just mention are tongues with interpretation. Divers kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. You don't find that in the Old Testament. You don't find either of those two in the earthly ministry of Jesus. But the other seven you see in the Old Testament. And the other seven you see in the ministry of Jesus while he was on this earth. And John chapter 3, verse 34 says Jesus had the Spirit without measure. So he had all of the anointing, all that the Holy Ghost could do through any one person, he could do and did do through Jesus. And yet Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, the Son can do nothing of himself. He healed one person and left. And yet there was a multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water, and he left. He saw them and he left. He knew they were there and he left. He's compassion personified. He cares for these people, but he left. When they asked him about it, when they challenged him on the discussion of the subject, he said, I only do what I see the Father do. I didn't even do the one that I did on my own. The Son can do nothing of himself. See, the gifts of the Spirit operate as the Spirit wills. If they can operate as you will, Jesus would have operated them more there. Amen. They operate as the Spirit wills, but thank God he wills more often than we allow. I want to be more yielded, and let's all have more desire. And then learn to cooperate with him. People say, we're just going to let God do what God wants to do. These things operate also in part by faith. And they'll operate more when we're waiting on our ministry, desiring these things, and yielded. Amen. I remember the time that Peter and John going into the temple, the time of prayer, they saw this man that was laid daily from his mother's womb. At the gate, begging, asking alms. Peter, fastening his eyes on him with John, said, look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And Peter took him by the right hand, lifted him up. Well, Peter didn't do that with Peter's faith. He said later, in Acts chapter 3, he said later that it was his name through faith in his name hath made this man whole. The faith which is by him has given him this soundness in the presence of you all. The faith which is by him. Around verse 16, Acts 3:16. You already got it up there? You're pretty fast. So he said, it's the faith which is by him. Well, that's not Peter's faith then. It's the gift of faith. One thing that I see, it's an area of confusion or misunderstanding. I see it so often. It's prevalent. Is people misunderstand believing faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word, and the gift of faith. And they're trying to get something done on the gift of faith, or rather believing faith when it won't work. And they'll see somebody get results, and they'll say, I'm going to go out and do that. And when he got results, he didn't get it with the gift, the believing faith. He got it with the gift of faith. And you won't get results any other way yourself. And so they go out and they try to get it done too, and they fall flat on their face. If they'd even admit it, many are in spiritual self-denial, or in denial. They don't even want to judge it and admit it didn't work. But very often people are trying to get done on believing faith, just their own faith, what only the gift of faith can do. If your faith could do anything and everything, why do you need the gift of faith? And yet it's in there. Again, we've not read those three verses, but we're going to. The gift of faith is special faith. God's faith mixing with you and your faith. Getting done what your believing faith, which comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, cannot do alone. The gift of faith. Well, Peter said it was the faith by him. Jesus had walked by him before. It wasn't very long ago that Jesus was on the earth. You see, this, you know, it wasn't too long ago before this, you know, that Jesus was raised from the dead. And before that, he's in his earthly ministry and he's going to Jerusalem and into the temple. I don't doubt that Jesus walked right by this man. Jesus didn't pick him up. Peter and John walked right by this man. Peter didn't pick him up. But this day, something different happened. Some of you were in the service in Greensboro when the man came forward and his right arm was down to his side, looked like it had strapped there. He's walking, you know, forward and his arm is down to his side. And he comes up and I'm asking him, "What did you come for?" And he says, "I can't lift my right arm." And I put my hand on his right shoulder and began to pray. And ask the Lord. Compassion welled up within me. I was being stirred on the inside. I was aware of this stirring. I was aware of this working. And I was asking the Lord internally in my spirit to help this man. And compassion began to well up within me. And instantly I knew what I could do. Instantly I knew I can lift his arm. In the name of Jesus. Now, see, if you do that without the anointing, you're going to hurt somebody. And that might be one reason ministers have errors and omissions. You know, insurance. You know, they might need that. Because they're facing a lawsuit. Amen. But the gift of faith came upon me as compassion welled up from within me. You know, the anointing of God comes upon you. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." But he also has the Spirit within. And the rivers flow from within. Rivers are flowing from within you, but the anointing of God is coming upon you. Glory to God. And I knew what I could do. Now, it's the gift of faith when I'm acting. Peter picked him up. Peter acted. The man didn't have to do anything. When the gift is in operation, it's apart from the person's faith receiving. The healing anointing requires the faith of the one receiving, but the gift of faith does not require the faith of the one receiving. I said the healing anointing, now that's in this ministry too, and I teach on it often because I want people to grow in faith. Some people will hear about it and go their way and never come again because they did not believe. There's a healing anointing in this ministry, but they don't believe that. You can tell they don't believe that because they don't come back and they don't come forward for prayer. They're hindered by their unbelief. Somebody say amen. Jesus had the healing anointing, the anointing without measure. The woman that heard about that believed it, that had the issue of blood, and she touched him and drew that anointing out with her faith. Jesus said, "Your faith made you whole." But in John chapter 5, when he told that man to rise, take up his bed and walk, the man didn't need to have any faith to be healed. He didn't even know it was Jesus. He wist not who he was because Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. In John 5, when Jesus healed that man didn't have to have any faith. Didn't have to have any faith. When the gifts of the Spirit are in operation, the person receiving doesn't have to have any faith. Or there can be a mixture of faith. Faith to receive and faith to minister. At the gate beautiful, Peter picked that man up with the gift of faith. Not Peter's faith, certainly not the man's faith. The gift of faith. In John 5, when Jesus spoke to that man, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," that man didn't even know who it was. They asked him, "Who healed you?" He didn't know. "Who healed you?" "I don't know." He left. Before I could get a chance to ask him, "Who are you?" He left. He wist not who he was because Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. The healing anointing, faith is required. The gifts of the Spirit don't require any faith on the person receiving. But the gifts of the Spirit or manifestations of the Spirit operate Spirit wills. And then the healing anointing, that operates as the faith of the individual, as the person wills. Oh my, people don't get this the first time they hear it. You've heard it more than once, or you might not have got it either, I don't know. We often don't get these things just hearing them one time. Amen. The healing anointing operates as the person wills. The woman with the issue of blood drew it out of Jesus. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" It's the woman that did that. Jesus didn't do it. He even said, "Who touched me?" He was aware of the flow, but he didn't initiate the flow. Oh my. But the gifts of the Spirit are initiated by the Spirit of God as we wait on our ministry, as we are yielded, as we are prepared. But they operate as the Spirit wills. And then, certainly, we can always have faith in the Word. That's God's best, actually. And even two of us, you know, an agreement of faith, a mixture. Faith in the Word always produces results. God is faithful. His Word works. Amen. All right, these nine are all supernatural. They all operate as the Spirit wills, not as I will, not as you will, though we should have desire. Now, you may have to step out in faith because you can quench the Spirit and you can be disobedient and not yielded. And I don't want to miss it. I tell the Lord. You know, I might have a nudge, a perception, a leading to do something. Now, when the gift of faith comes on you, there's a holy boldness that comes along with you. You know. I mean, I lifted that man's arm. I didn't doubt. I mean, it's almost like it's impossible to doubt. You know what's going to happen before it happens. Something comes upon you. And I just lifted his arm up. And he was instantly loosed. Warren was right there. He was had a front row seat almost. He was right there. He saw that. Praise God. Just lifted up in Jesus' name. And he was instantly loosed and began to rejoice. Well, we all were praising God. But there are other times where you might be a little reluctant. My. But you step out in faith. And then the more you experience these things, you have some confidence. Confidence builds and grows. But still, Jesus fully developed the anointing without measure. He said, "The Spirit is what I'm following. The Son can do nothing of Himself." See, Jesus was led by the Father. We're led by the Son. And it's all by the Holy Spirit. The Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do, the Son doeth likewise. I do those things that I see my Father do. When you see it in the Spirit, then you'll have to have some faith just to step out and operate in that. But they are as the Spirit wills. Now, verse 8, the word of wisdom. This is a word or a portion. It may not be just one word, but it means a portion. A portion. God has all wisdom, but He may give a portion of His wisdom to you. To another, the word of knowledge, a portion by the same Spirit. To another, faith, that special faith, God's faith mixing, working with your faith. Then gifts of healings. That's what operated when Jesus spoke to that man in John 5, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." That was a gift of healing. Peter had the gift of faith because Peter acted and picked that man up in Acts chapter 3. Working of miracles, Jesus broke the loaves and the fishes. Prophecy, and then discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is one of the most misunderstood of these nine. Then divers kinds of tongues, different kinds. And then the interpretation of tongues. There are nine. How Howard Carter, years ago, I believe it's attributed unto him, he was the first to categorize these. And others realized the truth, and it caught on. And so we've kept that up. You know, it's reasonable. It makes sense that there are three categories. Three of these are revelation gifts. They reveal something. Three of these are power gifts. They do something. And then three of these are utterance gifts. They say something. So three reveal something, three do something, three say something. But all of them are supernatural, not natural. All of them operate as the Spirit wills, not as we will. And if it's true of one, it's true of all. I mean, all of us can prophesy, but it's the testimony of Jesus. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And we can stir the gift up. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, if God's not moving, I move God. He means with his faith. We're going to get something going here. Amen. But you couldn't just, any time you wanted to, I'm right now just going to prophesy. I mean, your prayer language, speaking in tongues is a prayer language, as we sometimes say. That's not really a perfect term, but I believe we understand what we mean when we use that. He does help you pray. And it is your spirit praying. But that's not really one of these nine. When it's in the open assembly as a message from God. See, Paul said in chapter 14, he said that there is the praying in tongues that no man understands it. In the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. When I pray, my spirit prays. No man understands. In the spirit, mysteries are secrets to God. So you're praying to God. But when there's a message in tongues from God, then that's not a prayer to God at all. That's a message from God, and we don't know what's said unless there's interpretation. Now, not everybody can do that. Every Spirit-filled believer could speak in tongues to God if they'd received the fullness of the Spirit and then yield. But that's not one of these nine. When it's to the church from God, see, there's a tongue to God and a tongue from God. There's a tongue to God, there's a tongue from God. This morning, Susan spoke in tongues as a message from God. Well, for her just to say, well, I'm going to do that tonight. Just on her own. You know, no leading of the Spirit, no move, no sense of direction. Just on her. You know, I believe some people are coming that need to see that, so I'm going to do it. That'd be wrong, wouldn't it? I'm going to do that. People need to see that. Now, if we wanted to speak in tongues as a prayer to God, we could. But Paul said, you know, if people unlearned are in your midst, they'll think you're mad. So he cautioned the church at Corinth to use wisdom. Don't just do that all the time with anybody and everybody around. Somebody say amen. That's Bible. Because if the unlearned and ignorant are in your midst, they'll think you're mad. So he said, you could do it, but you shouldn't, as a prayer to God. But when it's from God, nobody knows what was said unless we have an interpretation. And Paul said, if there's no interpretation, then you need to just be quiet. Speak to yourself and to God, because people can miss it. And in this area, people sometimes don't judge it, don't want to judge it. Paul said, let the prophet speak and the others judge. Because utterance gifts should be judged, and they can be judged if they would be. Now, whether that healing or a miracle occurred is easily judged. Did the ears open? Did the eyes open? Was the bread broken? Did it feed the multitude? All of us can see whether that worked or not. That's easily judged. But some of these utterance gifts, it's not so easy to judge it. Now, you think you had something from God, but there's no interpretation. Well, if there's no interpretation, then be quiet. And then ask the Lord to give you the interpretation. Because nobody was edified unless you can give the interpretation or unless somebody can. Amen. There is a church government. And then some guidelines how these things are supposed to operate. Now, in the ministry of Jesus, earthly ministry of Jesus, other than tongues and interpretation, you see these seven in operation. And they are as the Spirit wills, and He's our best example. Go back and look at Him. I mean, go back and read the four Gospels, and when you see something supernatural and spectacular in operation, it'll be one of these seven. Or, you know, it can be faith in the Word. He operated with faith in the Word. But quite often, it's one of these seven. One of these seven. One of these seven in operation, and He's our example. Well, when He knew something about someone supernaturally, revelation gifts. Three of these are revelation gifts. They reveal something. The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. What are the three revelation gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. What are the three revelation gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. It's when the Holy Spirit reveals something supernaturally that is not known otherwise. Now, what are the differences? The word of wisdom is that which pertains to and concerns the future. God has perfect wisdom. He knows exactly what's going to happen in the future. If He reveals to you or to me or to someone something that's going to happen to you or your life or someone around you by the Spirit of God, the future, then that would be... Now, He's not telling you your whole future, just a portion. It can come through a vision. Saul, before he was called Paul, had a word of wisdom, something that's going to happen. Ananias had a word of knowledge, something that is happening or has happened. In his vision, Saul of Tarsus, the Bible says in the book of Acts, Saul of Tarsus had a vision, and in his vision, he saw a man named Ananias coming in. So Ananias knows something supernaturally that he did not get naturally. What does he know? He knows there's a man named Saul of Tarsus praying. That's a word of knowledge. Current. Word of knowledge is past tense or present tense, where God reveals something. Something that's already happened or is happening now. There's a man named Saul of Tarsus. He is praying. He has seen in a vision. Ananias, he has had a vision. And he's on the street called Straight. Well, Ananias knows what to do. This is a word of knowledge. Well, sometimes it can come by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it can come by tongues and interpretation. Sometimes it can come by prophecy. Prophecy doesn't have to contain revelation, but it can. Tongues and interpretation doesn't have to contain revelation, but it can. Or the Spirit of God can speak. Or you can see a vision. There was a man named Saul of Tarsus. He was, at that moment, praying, and he was on a street called Straight. Now, that's a word of knowledge. All of that was true, past tense, present tense. Well, when God gives a word of wisdom, it may be just a portion of what He knows that's going to happen. Or if He gives a word of knowledge, it may be a portion of what He knows. I remember one time years ago, I was working for United Parcel Service, and in those days, we collected COD money. You remember those days where you paid the COD money to the driver? And so I'm carrying money back to the center to turn in, and I get there, and I'm $72 short. Well, I don't have that in my own money. You know, pull out my own wallet, and I don't have $72. I can put it in, pay it out of my own pocket, but I didn't have it. So I went into the supervisor's office, and I was going to just ask him if I could borrow $72, because I've lost it. I'm supposed to turn in $72, and I don't have it. Well, he asked me, you know, about it. Well, I remembered that COD package. I remembered where I was. I remembered what street I was on. I remembered the package. I remembered the circumstances. She gave me a $50 bill. You didn't see all that many of those. And she gave me a $20 bill and two ones. So I had a $50 bill, a $20 bill, and two singles, $72. But now I've come to the UPS Center at the end of the day and doing my tally I don't have it in my own personal money to make it up, so I go into his office. And I went into his office and asked him if I could borrow $72. Well, he asked me, "Where did you lose it?" Well, I wish I knew that. And I had already thought of that. You know, where did I lose that? I hadn't come up with anything. But when he asked me that, I remember this. I don't know if I'll ever forget. I decided to ask the Lord. So I, on the inside, I said, "Lord, you know where I lost it. Where did I lose it?" Now, I've done this before and it not work. I mean, since. I've done this since it not work the same way. See, these operate as the spirit wills. What I'm about to tell you, he did. I didn't do it. If you did it, you'd do it every time. Now, I can use my faith and ask God to help me find things that are lost, that are important, valuable, you know. But these things operate as spirit wills. So I asked on the inside, and I've done this since then, and it not work this way. You know, you might have some other experiences, manifestations, but these things operate as the spirit wills. But we have to have a desire. Have to have a desire. So I said on the inside, "Lord, where did you know where I lost that? Where did I lose it?" When I said that, the supervisor sitting at his desk in front of me, he disappeared. And with my eyes wide open, I saw a video of me at Diamond Hill Plywood, 2105 East Terrell Street, Greensboro, North Carolina. And I saw myself go into their warehouse area, cement floor, warehouse, had loading docks. And they had right there to the left of the loading docks, if you're on the warehouse floor looking out, some drink machines. And I bought a drink. And it's in my left pocket, the change, and I put my left hand in my left pocket to pull out the change to put into the vending machine to buy a drink. And out of my left pocket, when I pulled my hand out, that money came out and fell on the floor. And I'm watching this video of me as if the camera was behind me to my left. So I had a good view of what happened. And that $72 dropped right on the floor. And I got my drink out of the machine and I walked off, leaving that money on the floor behind me. I saw all of that. And then the video's over, and the supervisor sitting at his desk in front of me reappeared. And he's been talking the whole time, but I don't know a word he said. Amen. So I don't know what he said. The last thing I remember he said was, he said, "Where did you lose it?" So I'm just going to hook in there. Anything else he said since then, I don't know, but that's what I heard last. So I said to him, "You know, there's one place I can think of I might have. I'm not going to tell him what just happened. So I said, "There's one place I can think of I might have lost it, Diamond Hill Plywood. But, you know, they close at 5. It's 6:30 now." He said, "Well, let's call and see if anybody's there." Well, you know, okay. So he pulls out his ledger and, you know, database, whatever. Rolodex, he gets their address and phone number. He calls them. Maybe he looked it up in the phone book. I don't remember. But he gets them on the phone. And they answer the phone. Somebody was staying late and working late. And I'm thinking, $72 laying on the warehouse floor. My. Wouldn't that be just wonderful if it was turned in instead of just pocketed? But he asked my driver, lost $72. He thinks he lost $72 there at your drink machine in the warehouse. Did anybody find that and turn it in? Yes, they did. I've got it right here. Waiting for him. I'll give it to him. We wondered where that came from, who lost it, so it's right here. When he comes tomorrow, he can pick it up. And that's exactly what I did. Well, that was a vision of the word of knowledge. Where'd you lose that? Well, the Lord knows, and he can show it to me. That's a word of knowledge. I've ministered to people and know what condition they have. I wish I could do it every time. If you could, if you're operating it, you'd operate it every service. If you were doing it, you'd operate it every person. And there's some ministers that they see people get excited over it. They do try to operate it, and it's not right, and they fall flat on their face. When people judge it, some people are so gullible, they'll just swallow anything. Amen. But when it's God, it's accurate. And when it's God and it's accurate, it operates as the Spirit wills, and it won't operate every service. Any minister who does everything exactly the same way every service is false. Or it's all planned and not even God anyway. Amen. You can do the same thing every service and it'd be man's plans. But if it's supernatural, it won't be the same thing every time. Amen. Amen. Well, the word of knowledge then is present tense, past tense. The word of wisdom is future tense. Something revealed by God. What is discerning of spirits then? It's revelation of God that is not word of knowledge, word of wisdom. If you know something revealed to you, or the minister knows something revealed to that minister, but it was not by vision, by an angel, or by the Spirit, by tongues and interpretation, by prophecy. Somebody says, well, I know that person has an evil spirit. I just discern that. That's not discerning of spirits. Now, another mistake that I see, and you can see it too, is people confuse this with perception. And then some people even confuse perception with suspicion. And in the church, in the body of Christ, we do have perception. Too often, though, we have too much suspicion. And people call it God. They call it God. I think about Acts chapter 27, Paul said, I perceive that this voyage is with much hurt. Not only of the lading of the ship, but our lives also. He said, I perceive it. He didn't say, the Lord shows me. I wish people would read that, because it does concern me how some people are so glib in talking about how the Lord is showing them something all of the time. Somebody say amen. And I'd just rather be around Paul. Because Paul didn't say, the Lord shows me. And yet I'm around some people, and the Lord's showing them everything. They just know everything. The Lord chose them. And I want to tell them how stupid they are, but I hold my peace. Did I say that? Spiritually speaking. Some people are just spiritually dense. But it's hard to argue with the Lord when they say the Lord chose them, and you know it's not even scriptural, but it's hard. How do you argue with the Lord? Well, we'll just prove it out. I'll take a wait-and-see attitude on that one. Amen. But I'd rather be around somebody like Paul, who had some spiritual intuition, and yet he didn't say, the Lord showed me. He said, I perceive. I like that. Let's just be more scriptural and be more mature and realize God doesn't show anybody everything. And the people that are saying the Lord shows them, I mean, all the time, well, the Lord shows me. The Lord said, I was praying and the Lord spoke. I mean, that we ought to have experiences like that, but every moment of every day, I'd rather be with Paul, because he did not say, the Lord showed me. Somebody say amen. I don't know if I'm stepping on anybody's toes or not, but get this CD out and I'm sure to step on somebody's. Paul said, I perceive. I perceive. I perceive. He's the one who said we see through a glass darkly. I wish we saw it clear. And I'm around some people who, the way they talk, they see everything clear. But you stay with them long enough and you can see how foolish they are. But Susan and I live this way. She'll ask me and I'll say, often, I don't know. But let's pray, or let's seek the face of the Lord, or, you know. But let's, I perceive. Amen. I perceive. And then that's not always so clear. But later, Paul said to them, you should have listened to me. After they got into trouble, he said, you should have listened to me. That was a good spiritual, I told you so. He said, you should have hearkened unto me. You know, they didn't listen to him, and he was right. Amen? Some people don't even ask. All right, perception is not the same as a revelation gift by the Spirit. I mean, one of the gifts of the Spirit. It's by the Spirit, but it's not one of the gifts of the Spirit. Word of knowledge and perception are very similar. A low form of word of knowledge and a high form of perception are very, very similar. It's almost difficult to tell the difference. Is that the word of knowledge or is that my own perception? It's almost difficult to tell the difference. A high form of perception is very, very similar to a low form of the word of knowledge. I perceive that this voyage is with much harm, not only of the lading of the ship, but of our lives also. But the word of knowledge can be very similar to that. People confuse those. They call it, well, God shows me. And it may not be God at all. It may be your own perception, which could be accurate, all right, but we ought to call it the way it is. Now, if I don't have the word of knowledge on it, if I don't have the word of wisdom on it, if it's not perception, but it is by the working of God, the gift of the Spirit, then is there another way that I can have revelation? If I don't know it on the inside, if I didn't see a vision or an angel speak to me, is there another way I can have revelation? Where discerning of spirits would be like a vision, it's where I see it. What if somebody says, I just know that person has an evil spirit. Well, that if that's by the Spirit of God, and not your perception, if it's by the Spirit of God, that'd be word of knowledge. I know that person has an evil spirit. Well, if you know that by the Spirit of God, that's word of knowledge. Well, I just discern he has an evil spirit. Well, that'd be word of knowledge. It's not discerning of spirits. You might use that word and technically and by the definition, that could be accurate, but it's not the gift of the Spirit, discerning of spirits. But if you see the evil spirit, now see, that's not word of knowledge at all. That's discerning of spirits. You see into the spirit realm. Or what if you smell it? Brother Hagin, in healing lines and prayer lines, I'd be there close enough. Well, he's got a microphone. You don't have to be close. You hear him sniffing. And he would say that he got to the place where he could detect what kind of spirit it was by the odor. He had the experience enough to detect what kind of spirit it was because they smelled different. My, my, my. Well, a prophet will have revelation gifts. Maybe not all three of them, but a prophet will have revelation gifts. If you see it or smell it or one of the others, maybe hear it. Hear it. You hear something that no one else hears. Or feel that no one else feels. It's like the five senses in the spirit realm. It's revealed to you some other way. And that's discerning of spirits. Jesus is easily touched with the feeling of our infirmities. There's a time where I felt, and more than once, but I'm thinking of Susan as prompted, where I felt a lady's heart condition. I knew how her heart felt. Amen. And then there's a time where I prayed for a person and I didn't see or feel or know anything except inwardly I had a perception. He came for prayer and he had a problem with his leg, his left leg. And I knelt down there and I put my hand, both my hands, around the calf of his left leg. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come off of him. And I jerked my hands away. And he said, he went, whoo, something, you know, some exclamation. And walked and ran. He went running without any pain. The condition, the stiffness, the pain left him instantly. Well, after the service was over, the pastor's wife, we were in the car riding to a restaurant to go eat. She asked me what I saw. What did you see when you were ministering to that man with the leg condition? You put your hands on his leg and commanded that to leave. She asked me, what did you see? I told her I didn't see anything. She said, how did you know to do that? Well, I couldn't explain that. It's hard to explain. You just have an inward knowing. Now, sometimes I'm waiting in the presence of God for the build. It's like an explosion that's coming, and then when it explodes, I react. It's hard to explain. I'm looking inwardly for the move, the release of the power. How did you know to do your hands that way? I don't know. How did you know where to put your hands? I don't know. Just an unconscious leading. I'll sometimes say, yet today, you know, I'll minister this way and you can watch. And I'll say, somebody come with pain. I'll say, well, the pain's right here, isn't it? And I'll put my hand right on the pain. I've got a pain in my back. And they'll turn around. It's right here, isn't it? I've just got a leading. And then a few times you're just a little bit off. They said, no, a little to the left. All right. There it is. Because we see through a glass darkly and it's not as strong. When it's strong, you just don't miss it. Glory to God. Amen. Well, she said, ask me, you know, what I saw. I didn't see anything. How did you know to put your hands there? I don't know, just an inward leading. How did you know to jerk your hands away? Well, when the intensity increased and the release of the power was there. I just knew when to do that. She said, well, there was a black band around his leg. You put your hands on that black band and jerked it off. See, she saw that. I didn't see it. There was a black band. What I saw when he came for prayer, what I saw was a black band, like a steel band, about a half inch thick, that was wrapped around him, like shackles. And you put your hands on it and jerked it off of him. Well, that fit in perfectly with what I had in my spirit, but I never saw any of it. She saw it. That's discerning of spirits. It didn't operate through me. It operated through her. Amen. What I had was a gift of healing. What she had was discerning of spirits. So when you see into the spirit realm, or you hear it, or you smell it, or you feel it. Brother Hagin, early in his ministry, he would have fire that would shoot between his hands when an evil spirit was present. The Lord spoke to him and said, from this night forward, that which is known in my word as discerning of spirits will operate in your ministry when you're in the spirit. Now that's a phraseology that's very important. This is how the Lord Jesus said it to him in a vision, eyeball to eyeball. What's known in my word is discerning of spirits will operate in your ministry when you're in the spirit. That is not just any time. When there's the presence of an evil spirit, the fire that is in your hands. You remember the story in 1950? Jesus touched the palms of his hands with the finger of his right hand and each of the palms of Brother Hagin's hands, and they began to burn like he was holding coals of fire. The Lord said, when that anointing begins to wane, fast and pray till it comes back. When you're in the ministry, your hands will burn. Many times I've been with him in ministry and he would say, they feel like that right now. The palms of his hands would burn like he's holding coals of fire. He would say many times, they feel like that right now. And yet I've seen him pray for people when they didn't get a thing. And yet the anointing is there. I said the anointing's there. And they don't get a thing. I've taken people to his meetings and they not get a thing. And yet the anointing is right there. That anointing is required of the person to have faith to draw it out. But many people in those days and still today are trying to get the minister to do it. Amen. And then Jesus said, if that begins to wane, fast and pray till it comes back. And then, at another time, Jesus appeared to him and said, now, from this night forward, what's known in my word is discerning of spirits will operate in your ministry when you're in the spirit. And told him how to put his hands on people. And they say, I don't minister exactly that way because it's different. exact same anointing in ministry. But you would see Brother Hagin in those days, and on videos, you still see it, where he'd put one hand on front and one hand on the back. He'd put one hand on the chest, one hand around the back, or he'd put one hand on the side and one hand on the other side. Now, that's early on. He changed how he ministered as things changed in his ministry. Because the Lord said, if their condition is caused by the presence of an evil spirit, the fire will jump from hand to hand. Well, in order to distinguish that, he would need to have some separation. So he'd put one hand on their front and one hand on their back. Or he would take both of their hands. Very often you see Brother Hagin take both of their hands in his hands. Or he would take the just above the wrist, their forearm. He'd grab one forearm in one hand and the other forearm in the other hand. And he'd sense that anointing going into them, or the fire would jump back and forth. Jump back and forth. And Jesus, in a vision, in an open vision where Brother Hagin saw him, just like you see me and I see you, Jesus said, that's discerning of spirits. From this night forward, what's known in my word is discerning of spirits will operate in your ministry when you're in the spirit. If that the condition that the person has is caused by an evil spirit. If there is an evil spirit present, the fire that's in your hands will jump from hand to hand. Well, he would feel that. He would feel that. He would feel that. That's discerning of spirits. Or if your eyes are open and you see that, that's discerning of spirits. Or if you smell that, that's discerning of spirits. Well, I just discern. No, that's not discerning of spirits. That might be perception, or if it's a gift of the Spirit, it's word of knowledge. But today, you've got it all confused in many, many circles. Now, working of miracles, that shouldn't need to be explained because it either is or ain't. But some have working of miracles. Gifts of healings. Again, that's the gift of the Spirit that's operating through the ministry and minister. It doesn't require much, if any, faith on the part of the individual receiving. Amen. So we've got power gifts, the gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healings. We've got revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Then you've got utterance gifts, prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Simple prophecy, Paul said later in chapter 14, is edification, exhortation, and comfort. If it edifies, if it exhorts, if it comforts, it does not have to have any revelation in it at all. Simple prophecy doesn't have to have revelation. It can just edify, exhort, and comfort. Just edify, exhort, and comfort. And really, as we're yielded to the Spirit, everybody, every spiritual believer can do that. In the book of Revelation, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And he said in chapter 14, ye all may prophesy. One by one, that by course. That all may learn and all may be comforted. So we all can have the opportunity to yield to the Spirit. Amen. But if it does include revelation gifts, then that can happen that way too, just like coffee can be black or it can have cream and sugar in it. It's still coffee, but it can contain something else. So prophecy can contain revelation gifts, but simple prophecy is just edification, exhortation, and comfort. Are you putting that up for a moment? Amen. And then tongues from God, a message from God to the church, and we don't know what's said unless it's interpretation. Not translation, but interpretation. Not translation, but interpretation. And you know, there's the difference. The essence of what is being said. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Brother Hagin was praying for somebody one time, and the anointing did not flow. And he made it a matter of prayer in this particular case, situation. He was very interested and he fasted and prayed. Lord spoke to him and said, that which you have will not work. Because that little girl was born with something missing in her brain. And if something's missing, it cannot be healed. There's nothing there to heal. She needs a miracle. What you have is the healing anointing. And what you have won't work here. And see, even gifts of healings that operated on occasion and do through me. Brother Hagin had the healing anointing all the time. But see, that's different from gifts of the Spirit. Again, in the church world today, it's all confused. People are just coming for prayer. They're just coming for prayer. And everybody's laying hands on them and crying out to God. But the gifts of the Spirit don't require the faith of the individual, or not as much, or at all. The healing anointing does. But even then, neither of those is a creative miracle. And Brother Hagin did not have that. See, to one is given miracles. To another, gifts of healings. Brother Hagin didn't have working of miracles. It can operate as the Spirit wills. It could operate through anybody as the Spirit wills, but some have ministry gifts. See, there's gifts, administrations, and operations. Administrations are ministers. God has set some in the church who have these as gifts or administrations. I call them ministry gifts. And so the Lord spoke to him and said, what you have won't work. She needs a miracle and you don't have that. So what do I do? Well, teach. And then tell her that you'll agree with her and let her receive by faith in the Word. Because you don't have any other way to minister. If you don't have it, you can't minister. Such as I have, give I thee. If you don't have it, you can't. Well, we're just going to pray. If you don't have it, you can't minister it. Well, we're just going to pray and let God do what He wants to do. If you don't have it, you can't minister it. So what do I have? Such as I have, give I thee. I don't have working of miracles. The healing anointing won't work because he told her, he said, your daughter was born with something missing in her brain. The mother hadn't shared that, but the mother said, that's exactly what the doctor said. See, the mother knew that, but she hadn't shared that with Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin got it by a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. How'd it come? In prayer. The Lord revealed it. And it was accurate. Can somebody say amen? So, I can't minister to you with what I have. Such as I have, give I thee. What I have won't work. And what you need